Good morning. What was that last phrase we just said? Besides, I'm falling on my knees. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I pray that that's the truth. Let me read a quick story, just very, very brief. Anthony Parsons and others. The place is England, and the year is 1540. Having refused to turn from their beliefs, Anthony Parsons and those with him approached the stakes, which they were to be burned on. Arriving there, Parsons requested some drink. With it, he turned and toasted his fellow sufferers. Be merry, my brethren, and lift up your hearts to God. For after this sharp breakfast, I trust that we shall have a good dinner in the kingdom of Christ, our Lord Redeemer. Let's pray. Our heavenly and gracious Father, we just sang to you. We just lifted our hearts to you. We pray that our actions would follow. We pray that we would understand more how to trust you. We pray that we'd be more like Anthony Parsons and other great saints, Lord, who have followed you wherever you have taken them. And I pray this morning that you would just encourage us in our faith. Help us to understand it more. Help us to live what we believe. In your holy name we pray. Amen. This morning, I'd like to take a look at one word. That's it. Just one word today. That's a little different, isn't it? But you know, I think it's an incredibly important word that we find in Scripture. And if we don't grasp it, if we don't really understand that particular word, everything around us doesn't sort of fall into place. The word, in fact, as we define it, actually, as you define this word, actually defines you and your spiritual walk. That word is faith. These guys probably knew it was coming. We've been studying faith for 4 weeks in Sunday school now because I think it is such an important concept. It's not an easy concept. It's not something you can just sort of quickly say, I know what faith is. In fact, the more that you start talking about it, the more you see that it's deep. So let's look at that one word and make sure that we can understand it. And just a little while ago, we even sang, men of faith, rise up and stand. You guys were already standing. But if I asked men and women of faith, rise up and stand, would that be you? I would pray. But what does the depth of that mean? I'm going to ask these guys some questions over here. And I know I could take a beating on this, but I think they're going to come through. This is unrehearsed. Okay. Can I talk? Yep. Okay. Faith. We've been talking about faith, and actually we've even discussed that there are several kinds of faith. And in fact, what kind of faith you happen to have will basically mean whether you're standing or whether you're not standing in the end. So how many kinds of faith are there? Three, okay. And what were the three that we looked at?
There's authentic faith, circumstantial faith, and faith in faith.
Okay. Whew. That was close. We're gonna talk. All right, amen. That's good. There are three kinds of faith, and we've been discussing this in Sunday school because if our faith is wrongly put or wrongly translated into our actions, then we're in trouble. One kind of faith that we have to avoid is circumstantial faith. Circumstantial faith is, as circumstances change, my faith changes also. An example, I prayed that I would ace this test, and I got a C, or maybe a D. So my circumstantial faith says, something happened, God, you didn't come through. And so, God, you must not really care about my education. Or let's say it was a little deeper, though. Let's say, unfortunately, we get cancer. And we pray and pray that things would go better. Or maybe a good friend does. And things don't get better. Circumstantial faith would say, God, you didn't come through. And those are the hard times when we have to figure out who we really are. Faith in faith, you might see in the televangelists. They'll go out there and they'll say, if you only had enough faith, you could be healed. right? It's something that you're supposed to conjure up in and of yourself so that the focus becomes yourself. And so then you have to sort of almost like Star Wars, you know, Luke, use the power, use the force. And so then we start looking at ourselves. But what I want to look at today is, what is authentic faith? What is the faith that we need to trust in? What is the faith that is sound and secure and doesn't change? That's the faith that we're going to look at this morning. We are going to turn, we've read already from Hebrews chapter 11. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to page 1191, if it's a pew Bible. And David Downey in the worship team read the passage that we're going to go through this morning. Very, very important passage, because in Scripture, a lot of times this is even called the faith chapter. And in it, there are several people that we call heroes of the faith. Now my question this morning, the main question I want you to ask yourself, are the heroes of the faith just back then? Or are the heroes of the faith here today too? And another question is, what was it that the heroes of the faith back then were relying on? What made them heroes of the faith? Because if we can grasp that, then maybe God can use us today to be heroes of the faith today. So they have some really interesting things here. Did these guys have some special power, strength, or secret? I don't think so. But let's look and see. Let's find out. Near the beginning of the Sunday school period where we were looking at faith, I asked these guys, just write a definition of faith. That's not as easy as you think it is either. A couple of them actually turned right to Hebrews 11:1 because they'd heard it, that that's the definition. But actually, if you had to write your own definition of faith, it's actually a good exercise to do. Hebrews 11:1 states, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Okay. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? We kind of put some feet to it by the help of Andy Stanley. Had came up with a definition. Anybody got that one? This is my last chance to have you guys shine. What's? Go ahead, Dave. All right.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, it's the confidence or believing that God is who He says He is, and finish it up for me. Yes, it's faith is the confidence that God is who He says He is, and He will accomplish all that He promised to do. That's what authentic faith is. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now let's see how it plays out in some of these heroes of the faith, because it's important. Actually, these heroes of the faith experience many of the same things that you and I experience. And how they came to God in this situation is what was important. And I think we can learn a lot from. Now, if you want to look in Scripture, verse 3. The first two verses are a little bit more challenging, but I think we can still get a lot out of it. Verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." You see, the author of the book of Hebrews wants to point out one fact right away. Is your God big enough to have done what He said He could do? That's the first step of faith. Now think of it this way. I mean, we are surrounded by scientists who want to disclaim God. We are surrounded by people who want to use the Big Bang Theory and all these different things. The author of Hebrews is looking at his fellow believers around him in past history and saying one question. They had faith that they could trust that God could actually speak and it would come to pass. That God could actually take something from nothing and create something. And that's what the first hint at faith is. How big is your God? And that's a tough question to ask ourselves, because, like I said, there's a lot of people who would disclaim that. But I think God is big enough. Is He big enough? Is He big enough in your lives to just have spoken and created something? And then he goes on and he distinguishes between two individuals. Verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. And when commended, Excuse me. And when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. Now this one's a tougher one. It is not absolutely clear in Scripture, but somehow, here's the situation. Men, God asks for a sacrifice. They both come, they're both brothers. They both come, they offer their sacrifice. Now the question is the sacrifice is different so that one was a better sacrifice than the other? Or was it how they presented their sacrifices? It's a good, tough question. I don't know, I can't even explain the answer completely. But I have a feeling that Abel came with the right heart. Abel came because God was worthy. Abel came because God deserved an incredible sacrifice. I think Cain may have come saying, okay, here it is, Lord. You asked for it, take it. I'm supposed to do this, right? It could have been their attitudes, very likely. It could have also been something in the sacrifice. But my question to me personally and to you, your offering here this morning, did you come to church because God is worthy? Did you come to church because God is so beyond and so worth coming here to praise Him, to worship Him? Or did you come to church because you're supposed to? Did you come to church because someone made you even worse? Huh? I know there were years where I came to church because my parents made me. I know there were years where, I'm supposed to do that. But I pray that our offering of ourselves through faith would be that I'm here because I want to be here. I'm here because God is worthy. God is glorious. God is great. And He deserves my praise. The next verse, Enoch. One of those guys in Scripture that just shine, and yet so brief. Scripture says in verse 5 and 6, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Do you realize that in order to please God in your day-to-day life, it takes faith? In James chapter 2, it talks about faith and it talks about works. It says, faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. They go hand in hand. In fact, I think in the Message, a translation, a paraphrase of Scripture, it says, faith without works is a dead corpse. Works without faith is a dead corpse. You see, a person of faith can live an obedient life, a life that pleases God. But a person who doesn't have faith probably won't, because you can't trust God in the day-to-day ins and outs. That's the difference between, that's how Enoch shone. Because he had faith, he was able to please God in all of his actions. He was able to just walk with God. Hard question number 3. Do you exist to please God, or does God exist to please you in your minds? Question. You see, a lot of times we sort of say, God, I want this, and God, I need this, and God, I, instead of saying, God, I'm yours. God, use me for whatever your purpose. God, help me to obey so that I can please you. If that would be our focus each and every day in everything we did, that would show our faith and our right priorities. Verse 7, we get to Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, this is an interesting one. You see, sometimes God actually asks us things to do that don't make sense completely to us. The question is, would you trust Him anyways? Noah, I want you guys probably have heard Bill Cosby, right? You guys remember that? Or is that just dating me? Larry's up there. I know he's heard it. You guys got it. You want to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? Basically, right? And then there's going to be a flood. Right. What's a flood? Things that he can't even grasp. But God's saying, do you have the faith to trust me anyways? Even if it's not in your concept of understanding, do you have the faith to walk where I ask you to walk? Do you have the faith to do what I asked you to do, even when it doesn't make sense? Well, that's true faith, right? The next person in the scripture, very similar. Abraham, verses 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger. In a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Picture this. Abraham walks in. Here's his wife, Sarai at the time. Sarah, it's time to move. Okay, move from family, move from security and everything else. Where are we going? Don't know. God just told me. We're supposed to move. How many of you husbands would like to go home and tell your wives that? I don't know where, but God told me that we're going to move. How many of you wives would love to hear that? What would you say to your husbands? Not an easy question, is it? If you were able to trust God in such a way as to move despite not even knowing where he wanted you, that's a huge thing. That's what faith is all about. That's what's trusting a God who knows more than we do. You see, and Scripture even points to it here at the end. Abraham's focus was not here. Abraham's focus was there. Abraham had this understanding that things were far off and bigger, and God was able to see that. Abraham didn't trust in the now and here and now. I mean, God sometimes calls us to step out. And sometimes we don't even know where it's taking us completely. Faith is trusting anyways. Faith is saying, okay. But I'd say, oh, what about my kids? What about my job security? What about my... Faith is saying, God will take care of those things. Because he has everything under control. And then we see interesting situation with Abraham and Sarah and with children. Verses 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. There is a huge line right there. He considered God faithful, the one who made that promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand in the seashore. Okay, Abraham, Sarah, you're going to have a child. You're going to have descendants as numerous as the sea. No problem, right? Oh, one problem. Abraham's 100, Sarah's 90. Big problem. So only a God who is able could accomplish such a thing. Now, interestingly enough, you start to see a little bit of humanness in here, a little bit of lack of trust in God. These people weren't perfect. They're more like you and I. In fact, Sarah takes it under her notion to help God along, right? And you know the story. But in the end, what Abraham and Sarah were standing on was a trust that God was able to do what he promised he could do. What he promised he would do. That's authentic faith. That's the faith that changes us. That's the faith where we can go out and do what God asks us to do. Verses 13 through 16. Kind of wrap this up. 13 through 16. All these people who we've just talked about were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Some of them, like Abraham, didn't realize or didn't see what happened in the all of his descendants. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country, of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Another tough question. Where's your home? Is this your home? Or is there a better home? Which place does your heart belong? Do you live for the here and now? Or do you live for what's coming? These people of faith could look forward and live for what's coming. And that's what could motivate them to do the tough things that God asked them to do. You see, for them to live is Christ, and to die is gain, as Paul writes, right? You know how we sometimes change that in our culture today? To live is self, and to die is pain. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of getting old. We're afraid of, you know, because we live here. But if we lived there, in the outskirts of where God is pointing us, then to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what true faith is. It's seeing the big picture. It's knowing that God is able. It's seeing how big and strong he is. It's seeing how secure he is. It's seeing that I can trust him no matter what. That's what true faith is. Let's look at some promises that you and I need to stand on. Promise number one, what we need to have confidence in. If God is who he said he was, then what? Then we don't have to worry that this world is a haphazard mess. We don't have to worry. In fact, we can know that God is directing it through his infinite wisdom. And that God is in control. If God is who he says he was, then we can know that God is in control. If Jesus is who he says he was, then we can know that all things are possible through Christ, meaning all things. And we also can know that we have a high priest who understands, who came down and was tempted in the same ways you and I were, and who walked in the same paths that you and I walk. And so we don't really need to worry when bad things happen. If Jesus really died for you and me, then what? What can that give us confidence for? Everyone guess? Okay, eternal life. That's right. If he really died for you and me, and that gets into my next one too, not only do we have guaranteed eternal life, but also, do you ever have to doubt his love? Is there ever a time in our lives where we should say, God, you just don't care? No, we have a friend who laid down their life for us. And that is enough to never doubt his love. And if he promised to, if we are free by God's grace and not our works and what he did on the cross, if we are really free from that, then we don't have to live a life working our way to salvation. In fact, we've received grace and we can enjoy it to its completeness. And when we mess up, which we will, we can continually go back to the giver of grace and have him continually help and change us. And if he promised to come back and take us to our real home, then this is just a temporary spot. We have a heavenly Father who has our best interest in mind and has the big picture in mind. And if God meant it when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, then we can know that we are never truly alone, that we're not orphans. Instead, we are heirs to the kingdom, adopted heirs to the kingdom of God. Those are the things that we can stand on. Those are the things that we can say with confidence. And if we can say those with confidence, if we can trust that God is able and big enough and caring enough, then when the tough things come and the tough decisions come, then we can follow along with his plan. Look with me, just turn one page or so to chapter 13. chapter 13, the end of verse 5. As we just said, here's confidence. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That is a promise of God. God does not promise that we won't have trials and tribulations. In fact, He promises that we will. He doesn't keep us from those, but He does promise to walk through them with us. And so, what we can say in verse 6, and so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's faith. That's trusting in a God who's big enough. Now, how does that play out in today? It plays out that when God asks you to do something really ridiculously hard, it's saying, if it's from you, God, I can trust that I can continue to do it. I can walk in the direction you choose. If God, even somehow in your heart, you know where He's leading and you can't see the ending picture, it's you're able to say, God, I'm trusting that you know the end of that picture, and I will walk it with your help. It's trusting that God is big enough that when we become persecuted or people laugh at us or all the different things that can happen in schools or work settings, it's to see the big picture and say, God is big enough to hold me. God is the person who I dance with. These people I work with, I care for. But He's the one that I live to please. He's my dad. He's the one I'm trusting. Earlier we sang Days of Elijah. I really thought it was an appropriate song. See, sometimes I think, oh, those were the days when they had these heroes of the faith. You know, Elijah and Moses and all these guys. They were special. They had those. And God walked with them and God could do. And I was thinking more and more, that's not me. I can't do those things. But I'm thinking that God is big enough so that if I'm trusting Him, these are the days of Elijah. These are the days that God can use people who stand up and have faith. Men and women who have faith. This book, that's an interesting book called Jesus Freaks. Interesting term. It's really a list of martyrs. People who have died for their faith. There are people in the Bible. There are people since the Bible. And there are people, I pray, sitting in these pews who will be men and women of faith, who will be heroes of the faith. But I want you just to do this. I want you just to ask yourself, am I trusting God? Is my God big enough? And if you find yourself not sure of that, then say, God, help me to trust you more. God, I will be a hero of the faith if you use me in such a way. But you're going to have to change a lot. And that's okay, to be honest. But the point is, don't just sort of go through life haphazardly wondering why you do the things you do. Start to pray and ask God, God, help me step out in faith. Help me to trust you more and more each day. And then watch out, because I think you will. This morning, I'm going to ask what I call one of my heroes of the faith. She's a newish Christian, but I could tell you a lot of stories, but anyways, I'm going to have her close in prayer, and then the worship team, I'm going to ask you guys if you would just close with the Days of Elijah as we even leave. But Katie, would you just come and close this time in prayer, and then worship team, come on forward, and just think about that, and go live it.